A quick note before we start. Ghosts to Show You will be moving to a bi-weekly schedule for the rest of the season, but we promise we have a lot more fun episodes for you to look forward to. So be sure to subscribe so you can get them right when they drop. Now, without further ado, please enjoy our interview with the inimitable Shirley Manson. I'm not doing an impression of you, by the way, when I do it. I just sometimes use a little British accent.
Yeah.
What are you going to do with her?
She needs a small amount of encouragement.
Yeah. I'm just a woman of the world. Me and Madonna, we just, you know, you can't pin us down to one accent.
It's true. It's
famously.
True. It's okay. I don't mind people taking the piss out of my accent. It's totally fair. And I, by the way, make fun of American accents all the time.
I would love to hear at some point if it moves you, sort of an impression of any sort of accent that's American.
I can pretty much guarantee you at some point I will slip into my horrible, really bad American impersonation.
Perfect.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Very psyched about that.
Thank you,
Look
Billy.
At the service.
Fucking wow. Yeah, bitches.
Ugh, I'm so jealous that it's martini time and not for you and for not me.
Can I see a close-up of that martini? That's a beautiful
It's not
looking...
a martini. It's called The Sky Full of Tears.
Wow.
And my husband designed it after one of my lyrics on a song.
Oh my God. What can't
That's
he
beautiful.
Do? Sky hold on. Tears. How come my husband's not developing cocktails after my stand-up jokes?
Get him on it.
Well, listen, that was the sound of our beautiful guest. And hey, this is Ghosts. This is just a great way to open.
It's smooth, Emily. It's smooth.
This is Ghosts to Show You. And hello, you know what this podcast is. My name is Emily.
I'm Lillian.
And today, our illustrious guest.
May I speak?
Yes. Yes.
The first rule of this podcast, you must ask Emily permission every time you want
I will.
To speak. So
Absolutely.
Thank you for getting that right off the bat.
That was the sound of our illustrious guest, Shirley Manson. She didn't want me to even say what her name was, but that's who she is. You know her from her band Garbage, her podcast, from being beautiful. Maybe you've seen a Terminator series, perhaps.
Oh, maybe you've seen a James Bond movie and sort of listened to the intro.
Maybe you haven't been living under a fucking rock.
You're a fucking idiot. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Please welcome Shirley Manson.
Woohoo!
Yay!
Thank you so much. No, thank you. Thank you. No, really. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You can't see it, everyone, but there are crowds ever. It's a huge stadium we're in right now. This is really madness. It's absolute madness.
They're going nuts. Please sit down. The standing ovation. It's deserved,
really,
but it's gone on long enough.
There'll be an encore. Everyone relax. Yes. Thank you so much for doing this with us, for coming on this podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for asking.
And you're nestled in a wind-whipped sort of Scottish castle. Is that right? Sort of by the sea? Am I getting
it
right?
Yeah, well, we are by the sea. We don't live in a castle. We live in a small...
Okay.
As you can see, this is a tiny room.
And
I'm very embarrassed. So can I just say that I never film my house, and I only did it for Emily because I never do shit like this. Like, I never like want anybody to see anything like this, which is behind me, which I feel really embarrassed by. And Emily insisted I get one camera.
I
didn't want to let her down.
So here we are, me looking
like a douchebag on the internet. Whatever.
Okay.
I'm happy to humiliate myself for you guys.
I don't know what the bar for douchebaggery is in Scotland, but you are way at the bottom by American standards.
So true.
I know, but I bet you all my pals are like,
it's like, she's accomplished all these things and she has a tiny room where she displays it because she's proud.
Because she's a wanker.
Yeah. That's clear wanker behavior.
Yes. Anyway, we digress. I'm so sorry.
No, that's okay. There will be a lot more digressions to come, I'm sure. How are you doing today?
I am pretty good, really, all things considered. I'm pretty good.
Yeah, that's the best that any of us can hope for, I think.
Yes. Yeah, tough times. You guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. Lillian, I think, is having a rougher time than I am.
Thank you so much for saying so, Lillian. I really appreciate that. No, I'm in school, so it's just, you know,
stressful.
A lot of work. Yeah, but it's fine. It's just school, after all. It's not real life. So.
No, it's grad school. It's a huge accomplishment, and she works very hard, and I just don't work, and so this is what I do.
Yeah, you work.
Bravo, Lillian. Someone here is working.
Yes. So Shirley, I asked you to come on this podcast simply because I was like, she is from Scotland. That is a haunted country, as far as I'm concerned. She lives in a wind-whipped haunted castle.
You do live in a castle to us.
The thing is that you do live in a castle, and I won't hear otherwise.
Okay.
So I think it's interesting that you've constructed this tiny, you know, this fake room.
I faked it, you guys.
Dupe us.
I live grandly, but I faked modesty.
Yes. And that is almost as good as real modesty. So hopefully I was correct. I truly was like, I don't know if Shirley read the email closely enough, like that I was like, you've probably seen a ghost and do you want to come on the show? And so I guess my question is, was I right?
You were right. I have seen a ghost. And what is really peculiar about your email is, A, I am Scottish. B, my country is known for like ghost stories. But my ghost story is set in Madison, Wisconsin. And that's the only ghost I've ever seen.
Wow.
Twice. Same ghost twice in Madison, Wisconsin. I've never seen a ghost in Scotland.
Wow.
Although I live in a haunted city.
Yeah.
And Scotland is rife with amazing ghost stories, and I'm ashamed to say I don't have one to share with you. Not one.
It seems like it should be a Scottish rite of passage, but let's go back before you share your ghost story. What's your sort of earliest awareness of the paranormal, or, you know, was there ever a time where you were into it or became aware of it? Or
that is a good question. I mean, not really. I mean, obviously with Halloween, that was a big thing when I was a baby. You know, when I was growing up, that was a thing. But my mum bought me a Bambi mask for Halloween. That's my earliest mask. So I don't really have any creepy stories to tell or creepy memories or creepy experiences other than I live in an ancient city. Like Edinburgh, Scotland is an ancient city. It's cobbled and we have built over the original part of the city, which was ironically in these COVID era that we're talking about, they built what we call old Edinburgh over the oldest Edinburgh, which was shut off by the plague. And they basically just shut the city down and built over it and tried to forget about the plague.
Right.
So we have like catacombs and a part of the old city that you can access now. And you can wander through and everyone has these amazing ghost stories. And of course, we have all kinds of sightings of the Loch Ness Monster and all that. But that was just never a thing for me. And it was only when I hit America, when I came to Wisconsin, which at that time, when I went there, I think it was like 1993, it was statistically had the highest sort of rate of serial murderers at the time. It's changed now. Apparently, Alaska is like number one.
I believe it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Which is kind of weird. But when I went to America for the first time to live, it was in Madison, Wisconsin. And that was when, like, the serial killer percentage was pretty high per capita.
That's what brought you to the city, I'm sure.
Of course. I was like, that is my place.
Sort of the draw.
Like-minded people. And a lot of horrendous serial killers come from Wisconsin. Like Jeffrey Dahmer and Ed Gein. And like, it's just like really horrible. There's a lot of horribleness surrounding Wisconsin in that sort of territory.
So much corn and milk out there, you know, it makes you kind of
drives people crazy.
It makes you mad. There's not enough to do and you're just full of milk.
It's not the milk. It's the tundra.
True.
And it's so cold.
And it's icy cold, right?
It's icy cold. And the weird thing about at least where I was in Madison, Wisconsin, is that the winters for me as a Scot, where the climate's very mild, the winters last a long time in Wisconsin. Like, it's just unlike anything that I've ever experienced, really. So when I went to Madison, Wisconsin, the winters basically seem to last for half a year. I mean, I know I'm exaggerating and it's probably maybe 5 months, but it felt like winter lasted forever. And sure enough, when spring eventually arrives and everything thaws out, they find a lot of dead bodies. At least they did in Madison, Wisconsin back in 1995 while I was living there. So it's kind of mad. It's a mad kind of story. It's a kind of mad place, again, back in the 90s. So it's a long time and I'm sure a lot has changed.
Let's hope so.
Yeah, fingers crossed.
Let's hope fewer bodies being discovered as the snow thaws.
Yeah.
Weird, grim. Right? But it's also poetic, which I kind of love. It's like this weird unearthing of our secrets.
Yeah, I just imagined them having like an annual tradition where like all the children go out and they're like, I'll give you 5 cents if you find a dead body.
Find a body.
Yeah.
I mean, we're laughing, but it's really dark. That is, it's really, really dark stuff, you know,
of course.
Where they would unearth bodies. So yeah, it's just a weird experience for a Scottish person to come to somewhere like Madison, Wisconsin, which back in the 90s was so different to what it is now. It was still relatively... Rural's the wrong word because it wasn't rural at all, but compared to where I'd come from, it felt sort of very innocent and small town America. You know, it didn't feel urban in any way, which I'd come from an urban setting. So I was staying in a hotel called the Edgewater Hotel, which was on the lip of Lake Mendota. Because Madison's on an isthmus, so there's Mendota and Monona. And I was the hotel that I was staying at was like the Shining Hotel, and it was on the lip of a lake called Lake Mendota.
Was it big and beautiful and grand?
It's interesting because I was looking it up today because obviously I'm like, oh, I need to like remember what that experience was like. And it gets like 9 out of 10 on like travelers' guides and things like this, and it's called a really posh hotel. But when I was there in the 90s, it was before the refurbishment, and it was originally 666 Wisconsin Avenue. I shit you not. That was the original address. And then I think city officials decided that's too weird and too creepy and bordering on evil, so we're going to change it to... I mean, you couldn't write this stuff. They changed it to 1001 Wisconsin Place. So that's the new address. But when I stayed there, it was 666 Wisconsin Avenue.
Wow.
And the hotel had been built in, like, I don't know, like, I don't know whether it was late 40s, early 50s. But when I arrived there in 93, I think... It hadn't been refurbished in a long time. I don't think since like the 60s. It was really decrepit, but a beautiful space. Like I said, it's on this lip of a lake and it's so magnificent in some regards. And it has this incredible ballroom that looks out over the lake. So it was kind of magnificent. And like Elvis Presley used to stay there. And like, I don't know, the Dalai Lama stayed there. Elton John, like... Mm-hmm. It was kind of magnificent in some regards, but it was disgusting when I went there. I find like cockroaches in my pillowcases and stuff like that.
Not the pillowcases.
But anyway, that's where I stayed. And I stayed there for 2 years. And it literally is like the Shining Hotel, which I can't remember the name of now. But
the Overlook Hotel.
Mm-hmm. What? Overlook? I like the way you say it, though. Overlook.
There it is. There
it is. It's cooler. It's cooler when you say it.
I don't think so.
So anyway, that's where I was when I had my only experience with a ghost.
And you were living there. It was a long-term stay at this.
It was a long-term stay.
Okay. It must be strange. Living in a hotel is such a unique experience with your surroundings because it's everything else is so transitory and everyone's moving around, but you're just in this place. So it's like, it is very evocative. I could see how that would be kind of a perfect environment for this sort of,
No, sure. I mean, it sounds like I've made it up, you know?
Well, but also there's so many energies, you know, like you're in your home, it's imbued, you know, if you believe in such things, it's imbued with your own energy. And a hotel, it's just constantly in and out. Random people's energy is good and bad. You know, we travel to a lot of hotels for our podcast because when we're not interviewing people, we go in person to check out hauntings. And you know, that's where maybe that comes from, is because being imprinted with all of these people and their energies. And of course, then also people die there and whatever, and there's history.
Yeah. And by going to places, we just get drunk at hotels and kind of walk around. But in that sort of space, we do sort of occasionally see if we can find a ghost. Yeah. So
I like it. Yeah. I like your style. I mean, it is weird because when I am not like someone that really thinks a lot, unlike you guys, about paranormal activity or, you know, ghost stories or the other side. You know, it's just not really my style. I feel like I'm very sort of meat and potatoes kind of person, you know. I'm
Virgo.
Just not.
Virgo.
Yeah. I'm a Virgo. Yeah. And so it surprises me, like when Emily hit me up and said, "Do you want to do this?" that I actually had a legitimate, authentic story to tell, because it's just not really me. It's just not my style.
Yeah, I think that those are some of the most compelling stories, because it isn't like you're searching for it or you're, you know, it's not part of your everyday sort of thought. So to me, it's more not like we need facts and evidence of this, but it is just an interesting experience when people like you have these. So
yeah, I think those are some of the best ones. I almost, and I mean, not that I don't believe everybody who tells us a ghost story, but I almost believe them more because I know it's not a person. Like, we had a friend who came on this podcast who told us a story, and he was in denial about it while it was happening, and he was embarrassed to even talk about it because he's a practical person, and the fact that he experienced a haunting did not align with just the rest of his worldview and experiences.
Amazing,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
So let's hear it. Let's all this build up.
Well, as I said, I was in this old hotel, and it was disgusting, and it was kind of grotty. And I was in the midst of a really, really painful divorce. So I feel like this is why this happened, is that I wasn't in my normal mind.
You're more susceptible.
Exactly. I feel like I was very vulnerable and everything was really raw. And, you know, I was crying myself to sleep in a bathtub every night. I mean, it was just horrific. I was in a horrific state. It was the middle of winter, which in Madison is brutal. It's really unlike anything I've ever experienced before. It's like minus 20 degrees sometimes. You walk outside and the hairs in your nostrils freeze and you can't open the locks of your car. And it's just a whole palaver of like trying to figure out how to live in this kind of environment. And so I think one of the reasons that this happening occurred was because I was in that vulnerable, like strange state for me. So I'm living in this hotel, room 308. I remember it well.
Wow.
And the weird thing about this particular happening is it not only happened to me, but it also happened to my boyfriend, who's since my hairy husband. So it also happened to him, which is what is the weirdest thing, except we have both had two very different experiences, but we saw the same ghost, which I think is really odd. But I woke up in the middle of the night and I saw, you know how like you see out the side of your, you see movement out the side of your, like
your peripheral vision.
Yeah. But you don't actually see anything. You just see movement. And I sort of woke up and sat up in bed and I saw this peripheral movement. And then I saw this peripheral movement sit down in a chair and in the corner of the room, of the so-called suite that we stayed in, which just means it was a big room. But the thing that sat down slowly took shape. It wasn't a person at first. It was just a sort of energy.
And is this still your peripheral vision or you turned?
Still peripheral. But then by the time the energy sat down in a chair, it started to take shape. And then all of a sudden took shape into, I mean, it's so laughable, but took shape into a old, really super old lady, like really old, like in her 80s, maybe 90s, possibly older. And she was in pioneer garb and she had her ankles crossed. I can remember exactly what she was wearing. You know, she had little booties, like weird little pioneer booties with funny little heels, and she had petticoats and a skirt and like a wee bonnet at the back of her head, and she had her like hands crossed politely over them, and she was just sitting there. And I said to my boyfriend at the time, I was like, oh, I started like hyperventilating, like, oh my God. And he's like, what? And I went, did you see that? And then by the time I turned around, she was gone. And then a couple of weeks later, we entered the so-called suite again. I laugh because it really was, it sounds so posh, a suite, right? It sounds so rock star. It really was disgusting. And I opened the door and he saw her like wandering around the corridor between the bedroom and the sitting room. And he saw her like kind of move. And that was it. That was our ghostly experience.
Did you describe this ghost to him and then he saw her, or?
I don't think so. I remember saying, I saw this old lady, and did you see her? And he was like, no, I didn't see her. No, I didn't. And then a few weeks, I think it was a few weeks later.
She was like, you will.
I can't really remember. Yeah, you will, motherfucker. I mean, of course, I can't remember, right? Maybe I did.
Sure.
And maybe I implanted that, but he is convinced he saw her, and he has an entirely different memory of what she was wearing and how she looked and so on and so forth. But I mean, the hotel is known to be haunted, so
yeah.
I don't know. But the weird thing is like in Madison, when the lakes freeze in winter, towards spring, of course, the lakes begin to melt. And what happens is that the ice starts to crack. So you hear all this.
Right.
And then you hear these weird, like crazy crashes of like ice plates kind of like smashing right. against each other. And I'm sort of convinced that's what woke me up. And that's why I saw her. I think that's what made me sit up and see her, was just all this weird moaning and crashing. And but I don't like she'd felt friendly, she didn't feel evil or scary or anything. It felt sad, actually.
Yeah.
And then so my husband had this experience, or he was my boyfriend at the time, so he had this experience too, and we were both sort of like very cynical, like neither of us are really into that kind of thing. And then months later, Butch Vig, who is the drummer in Garbage, he brought me a book called Wisconsin Death Trip, which I don't know if you've ever heard of that book.
No.
But it's a book about sort of like, I don't know what you'd even call it, like pioneers, American pioneers. It's very, very famous. It's been used by a lot of like artists, like their artwork and everything has been influenced by this book, because it's a bunch of photographs taken from like the pioneer years of like dead babies from that period or hangings, and like it's really, really dark.
Yeah.
And the person or the ghost that, or the, I don't know what you'd call it, what vision that I saw looked straight out of Wisconsin Death Trip, but I had not yet seen that book.
Right.
Interesting.
So that's my ghost story. It's not very exciting.
No, it is. And you've painted such a horrifically vivid picture of Wisconsin. I'm never going there. Yeah. It sounds so desolate. Like, really never conveyed the there. Feeling. Like, I
but
felt
it's also
that.
Amazing. I have to say, like, I am very grateful that I had these crazy experiences. I mean, there's something really beautiful about looking out over frozen lake and watching it crack and moan
and seeing a dead
break.
Body rise up as it thaws.
I didn't see any. I wish I'd seen a dead body, only because it would make an amazing, much more dramatic story, which is really evil of me. But yeah, it's that simple. It wasn't very exciting, but really stuck with me. Like, I haven't forgotten it.
Right. Was she just in your room, or did your boyfriend or husband see her? He also saw her in your room, or just sort of out in the...
Mm-hmm. He saw her wander around our suite.
Yeah.
But I didn't see her. And I was with him when we walked in. And he was like, Like he acted weird, and I was like, what's going on? Huh. And he was sort of speechless and couldn't really speak. And then, you know, the moment passes, and then he was like, didn't you see that? Didn't you see that? I'm like, no, I didn't see it. What was it? But yeah, I didn't see her, and he didn't see her when I saw her, but we saw the same person because, as he said, it was an old lady in like pioneer gear.
Yeah.
And that's exactly who I saw. And it's vivid. And it's not like vague.
Yeah. Right. And you didn't see her after that. How much longer were you staying at the hotel after that?
Years. Yeah. I mean, I was a freak. I lived in a very strange life.
Why were you living in a hotel in Madison, if you don't mind
me
asking?
Well, I don't mind you asking at all. I was making a record, and my band were based in Madison, Wisconsin. So they all had homes and I didn't, so I lived in a hotel. And then our career started taking off and I started getting frightened about stalkers because there was quite a few stalkers around then. And I felt I was safer in a hotel than in an apartment. Mm-hmm. And also I kind of liked hotel living. Like I liked going to the vending machine and getting a Babe Ruth and a packet of crisps and going up to my room and watching basketball.
You're a Babe Ruth girl?
I'm a huge Babe Ruth. Like yes. Baby Ruth, okay. Like there's muncher.
Amazing. Delicious. There's so few of us in this world, yeah, I'm kindred spirit.
I don't like Baby Ruths, I'm going to say, and I'm sorry. I don't like them. I don't think they taste good.
What about, what's the other one? Payday is a similar.
I enjoy a payday.
I enjoy a payday.
There's no chocolate involved in a payday.
There's no chocolate. It's the only candy bar you can have with a Diet Coke, in my personal opinion. Kind of think about that. Use it
scientifically speaking.
These are fighting words.
The chocolate and Diet Coke, it doesn't work for me. Anyways.
Controversial.
One woman's opinion.
And you know, it's our differences that unite us.
Across party lines.
Yeah. Beautiful, you guys. Beautiful.
Thank you so much. I'm curious if you ever did you... I mean, so that happened and then you kept staying there. You weren't scared enough that you felt you needed to leave?
Well, they put me in different rooms every time I came, checked back in.
Okay.
And checked back out. And I was accustomed to 308 because I'd been in there a lot. I'd lived there for a long, long time. So I wasn't scared of 308. And as I said, like when the old lady arrived, I wasn't scared. Mm. I was just like overwhelmed by how intense it felt because I realized, wow, I think I'm seeing a ghost.
Yeah.
Like, I knew she wasn't real, if that makes any sense. Like,
mm-hmm. Do you remember if you were, and forgive me if you said this and I just missed it, but you were asleep, about to be asleep, or just, you were fully just in bed?
I was asleep.
Okay.
And woke up and saw this kind of weird movement. But like I said, I'm almost convinced because I'm convinced that it was the sound of the ice breaking or moaning
right.
that woke me up. Which possibly put me into a strange frame of mind. Like, being a cynic that I am, of course, I'm like, this cannot have been real. There's no right. way I, Shirley Ann Manson, had a supernatural experience. There's just no way. So, like, I've spent always my time thinking, oh, it was because of the creaking of the ice, it was the moaning of the ice, woke me up, it was spooky, it was weird, it was like out of a horror right. movie. And then I saw her.
Yeah.
And that would be how I would sort of parse it.
Yeah.
To anyone who isn't you two, who I know are like really into this. And I have to accept that it's a thing.
Yeah. We are constantly investigating our own minds and beliefs. Yeah. So we don't really know, you know, we're open to any sort of interpretation. I don't know what I believe exactly in this realm. So it's always interesting to hear.
I know that they say that we only use a tiny portion of our brains, right? So it's perfectly feasible and acceptable to me that she was there and I saw her. She just was from another time and I happened to tune in. Like I said, I was in this funny state. It wasn't my normal self. I was in a really vulnerable, emotional, messed up state.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the reasons why I've never received anything like that ever again.
Because you've just been 100% stable. It was just this one little blip and then everything else pretty smooth sailing.
I'm always 100% stable. Thank you for pointing that out, Emily.
Well, I mean, it sort of goes hand in hand. Like, obviously, you know, we do get kind of drunk and silly when we go search for ghosts, but there's a reason we do that, besides the fact that we like being drunk and silly. It's also because allegedly it sort of lowers your like psychic frequency, so then maybe you are more open,
susceptible.
Susceptible and open to experiencing something. And of course we joke, at least I do, because I'm scared. And so making jokes while I'm actually very scared is helpful to me. And also, like, I sleep in the bed with Lillian usually when we do go explore a hotel.
Oh. Or at least it ends up that way in the middle of the night.
That's true.
Hold on. Let me ask you a question. So you're both saying that you feel a wee bit scared by it?
Yeah. Totally.
Because the stories that you have encountered have been scary?
Well, we haven't personally encountered any ghosts, really. There was one time in a hotel in Atlanta where I heard what sounded like a very loud pig demon weird grunting noise. That Lillian didn't hear, but I was terrified when that happened, and I did not sleep at all the rest of that night. But even
pig
just
demon.
When we're yeah, well, that's how I describe it, because I didn't get it on tape because, like you, it was in the middle of the night. I was laying awake, and then I heard this sound, and I was like, the fuck is that? And then it went away, and it didn't happen again.
That is a pig demon.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not usually scared. I think, I don't know. I mean, I'm usually honestly more scared of the living people that are in these situations where we go. I feel like those are always the bigger wild card. Like, I don't know I can't predict all of these people in these crazy situations, but yeah. I don't know. I feel pretty safe. I feel like we're careful and psychically careful. I don't know. Just, you know.
But I mean, in terms of people that you've spoken to about this.
Yeah.
Have they ever given you reason to feel scared?
Well, if I imagine myself in the scenarios that some of these people describe, that would scare me. If I found myself living in a haunted apartment where, again, our friend Manute, like a metal pipe fell through the ceiling. There, it was just a ceiling. There was no hole, and a pipe fell through the ceiling. And, you know, people would come to his apartment and see a man sticking his face out, or like a hand sticking out from behind a door, you know, and he was living there for a long time. And similarly to you, I think he was in a really bad place. So I think he was extra susceptible. He was in an old tenement building in Chinatown, which those are notoriously haunted. So yeah, if I was Manute in that situation, I would be terrified to be living in a haunted apartment. That would scare me.
But was Manute scared?
Yeah, I think he was.
He was in denial for a while, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he was in denial. I don't know. He's very stoic, so it's hard to get a full read on. And this was years ago, and he told us about it recently, but it happened years ago. And I think he was drinking a lot. I think he would really like drink a lot. And I think it probably goes hand in hand with him experiencing this stuff and in general being unhappy. So I think he was scared, but because he was in denial, he wasn't fully confronting what was happening.
Interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the way is to just be really sad and or drunk if you want to see a ghost. So...
yeah.
Get on it, everybody.
So maybe after your midterms come out, we'll go again.
Turn in that final paper.
Have you guys been to Scotland yet to look for the Loch Ness Monster?
No, I want to go so badly. I really want to go to Scotland. For ages I've wanted to go, so maybe one day.
Because there is a lot of that whole culture here, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I know I'm being a disappointing Scot. Like, I am kind
You're
of
You're
not. Thank you, Emily. But, you know, I'm not... typical. There are so many amazing stories here and sightings and legends and places, like specific places you can go where they're like, this is officially haunted. You will have a haunted experience here. But going to see the Loch Ness Monster is really good fun.
I would love to go and at least just get some really cheesy tourist, you know,
Loch Ness
gifts.
Monster That's paraphernalia.
I love yes, that stuff.
Exactly.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
But my mother went to Scotland. My great-grandfather sculpted something that's in a square in Edinburgh, I think. I forget what it is. But we have a family plaid, all that stuff.
What's your family plaid? I'm sorry to be so Scottish, but what is your tartan?
No, and I don't...
What's your clan tartan? You don't know, do you?
We're McDonald, and it's...
We're related!
Like really? Amazing.
Yes.
I know it's so silly for Americans to be like, I have Scottish,
no,
but
cool.
It is fun. It is a lot of fun.
It's
really I have zero
cool.
Scottish blood. I've done this.
Then
the
fuck
thing.
You, Emily.
I'm gonna... The Scottish accent is one of my favorite mysterious accents. It's,
you have to come. You should.
I would love
you
to.
Should do a show there. It'd be so good. Because like, also
we're coming
Scottish
to your haunted castle.
But come
by
to
the
my
sea.
Haunted castle. There's like one very small room that you can definitely stay in. But Scottish people love Americans coming over and feeling part of the Scottish sort of heritage is great.
I didn't even realize, Lillian, that you had Scottish heritage. I guess I never asked.
McDonald.
Yeah, McDonald. And I had a little pom-pom hat, too, that matched the... I forgot. I lost it. I was so
the word
silly.
Is tootie.
What is it?
A tootie.
Tootie?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now I know.
A pom-pom is a tootie.
Oh,
I love
that's
it.
Cute.
I'm going to get another one.
Yeah, as soon as we have a real budget for this show, we're flying out to Scotland. We're doing a season there.
And come and stay in my huge castle.
Yes, we'll stay in your gigantic
you can
castle.
You have your own wing.
Amazing. Can't wait. Cool.
Perfect.
Wow.
I can't wait. Do you have any good peripheral stories? Do you know any like good Loch Ness stories? Anybody else you know who has a good Scottish ghost?
I don't. I really don't. That's why my ghost story is so weird. It's because I'm like not a believer at all. But I know what I saw. And yeah. I know that I had that experience. And that's what's sort of embarrassing to me about it. Because I feel like I'm bogus. I shouldn't be on this show because I'm not that kind of person. I mean, I have been up to Loch Ness. And I did sit with my sisters on the banks of Loch Ness to look for the Loch Ness Monster. And we didn't see it, but we felt it. And also they've got an amazing castle there. And we were really like, we were young and we really believed that we were going to see the Loch Ness Monster. And even though we didn't, we felt that it was there.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
I mean, but, I imagine children in Scotland brought up like, this is a thing. This is your boogie monster. Like the Loch Ness Monster is going to get you if you don't do your chores or anything like that.
No, the Loch Ness Monster is not considered scary. I mean, that's the weird thing about our culture compared to the American culture is the supernatural is acknowledged, but it's not considered scary.
Right.
You know, it's just part of being an ancient culture. And yeah. I think people sort of feel akin to it, like we're kind of proud of it, but we're not scared of it. Whereas in America, I think more people are more like anxious about it, whereas we're just like, yeah, we live with these are our ancestors and this right. is our history and we're proud of it, you know, like Scotland, it's a huge thing for tourism and Scotland is ancestry and ancientness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it, you're better than us, okay.
Yeah of course. Yeah, but the good news is the Scots don't feel that they're better than anyone.
Okay, another because reason why you're better than us, because we don't feel that you are.
We've been taught for centuries that we're lesser than and, exactly, and we believe it.
A series of humble brags.
Yeah.
Something like
love
that.
It. Cool.
Yeah. This, I mean, it's really interesting being a Scottish person living in America for so long. It's the difference in culture is wild. It's wild.
Sure. Yeah, our culture sucks.
That's why
we're moving into the castle.
Yeah, you can move into that castle and I'll stay in America and like go into the mountains and the deserts and the amazing oceans. You have a lot going on in America. It's beautiful.
We
it's just
a
sad time in American culture right now.
It
just
sure
seems
is.
Really dark. I
it
mean, talk
dark.
Of horror stories and ghost stories. It just seems like American reality right now is a proper horror story.
Yeah. And if you believe that you're more susceptible to any type of haunting when you're sad and stuff, then everybody's going to start seeing some fucking ghosts pretty soon.
Yeah. No shit.
Can't
no
wait.
Shit. It's so true. My God.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I'm sorry I don't have anything more dramatic to
no,
share
this
with you.
Was amazing. Thank you so much.
You're,
this is perfect.
You're great.
So before we go, I just wanted to sort of settle a rumor. So it's been said for many years that the song Stupid Girl, which you wrote as your song, was in fact written about me. And I just want you to sort of yes or no, is that true? A lot of people have been spreading this rumor for years.
Yeah,
so
people have been saying it a lot.
People have been saying it, and I just want to kind of, you know, clear the record.
Put it to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is awkward. You know? And I feel like we've had such a nice chat.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
But, I don't even know what to say. I mean, yeah. Yeah, I okay. guess it...
Okay.
I mean, I'm sorry, but
No, really,
I'm embarrassed. I'm really sorry.
No, Scottish people are truthful, you know.
We are. Thank you, Emily. Thank you. You know, we can't tell a lie.
Ultimately, so, it's a good thing. It's a good thing for me to know. And
I'm really embarrassed.
No. And it's fine. And this is a way for me to heal. I'm going to heal from this.
It pushes her to do better, Shirley. Mm-hmm. You know, she needs to be called out on things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Emily. No, I appreciate
it. It was prescient of you when you wrote it about the young Lillian. What? How old were you? 5 years old?
I don't know. Let's not talk about it.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Well, no, let's talk about it.
Imagine you just seeing a child and being like, "That's
that
it.
Stupid girl." I've got an idea for a song.
We're evil.
Oh, well, thank you for really clearing that up. I'm going to go on Reddit right now, go on Twitter, and kind of settle this debate, this raging debate.
Guys, it's true.
Thank you. Yes, amazing. Okay, great.
Crazies.
Awesome.
Right. Well, thank you so much for doing the podcast, Shirley. This was so, so fun.
Yes.
My pleasure.
What a
thank
treat.
You
You're
so
such
much.
A such an angel.
So. Such an angel and an icon.
Yes, yes,
yeah,
we
right.
love. We love
yeah.
you.
And yeah, an angel.
And I guess that's right. where we'll leave it. You're an angel. You're perfect. An angel. And the end.
The end.
Enjoy your cocktail.
I will. Thank you so much. All it's right. so lovely to Emily to actually speak to you, and to you, Lillian, to actually denigrate you in public. It was so much fun.
Anytime, I love to be denigrated by you. So yes.
Yeah, this absolutely. Has been like a real long troll from her. I mean, the song came out however long ago. It's coming full circle finally.
A long
so.
Con on Shirley's
long
part,
game.
So
yes,
my
exactly.
style. All right, ladies. Thank you so much. Lots
yes.
of love to you.
Thank
yeah,
you
too.
Pleasure.
Have a great night.
You
Bye,
too.
Shirley.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ghosts to Show You is created and written by Lillian Devane and me, Emily Panic. Production, editing, and sound design is by me. Our original theme song is by LP, and our artwork is by Paco Park. If you like the show, please rate, review, subscribe, and share it with your friends. We're an independent production, so it really helps. Follow us on Instagram @ghosts to show you. And stay spooky out there, folks.